everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Boy Wonder. Boy, I wonder why I'm still watching this piece of crap. Am I right? And I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team. Hey.
Hello. Damn. Hey. Got it in one. So true.
It is.
God, you hear about this shit? This show. So, for anyone who's just joining us, first of all, crazy episode to start with. Second of all, we just got from... We have a new a boy who's trying to be the new king of witches, or king of warlocks, rather, who is also the king of the witches.
Right.
The alpha, that's right. The alpha, which isn't a myth. It's real to me, damn it. Everybody sent over, they called the witches over, and the witches reasonably went like, why do we have to go to their place when they call a meeting? And the only answer they had was, I don't know, so they don't come over to our place and mess it up with their, I don't know, the warlocks seem like they're pretty prim and proper, if I'm being perfectly honest here. I think they've got their stuff together more aesthetically than the witches do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Myrtle, like, her whole thing was just, like, stinky. They're stinky.
Do you mind if, I think we might have discussed this already, I just need a quick refresher. Didn't Myrtle die at the end of season 3?
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Like, and the Madison. Very end, I mean, right? It was like, she gets burned at the stake and says Balenciaga is her thing, but now she's just here. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like a whole big thing for her too, like morally, like according to her moral code, that she needs to be burned or else like they're not following the laws of witches or whatever.
Right.
And that it's like so important because she did come back and then she was like, no, you have to kill me or else like this whole thing doesn't work. Well, she's back.
Yeah. Cause she had killed another witch and that was like,
yeah,
she was like, mm-hmm. If we don't hold up. Which she was right. Myrtle in season 3 was a lot more, she was like very over the top, but she was a lot more like actually
rules are rules.
Smart and rules oriented.
She was lucid in the back.
Yeah.
Like she was loony up front, lucid in the back. And now she's just loony all over.
Yeah. Right. She was very much so like, if you allow me to get away with this, then the rule doesn't exist anymore. So you have to follow through and kill me. For killing.
But
I don't
even
remember who she killed. I don't remember who she killed, but she did kill.
The council, she like cut out two of their eyes to give Delia her sight.
Right. True.
And then, I think it's because of that, because she then insists on getting killed, but then she's just here, you know, and there's not any explanation that I missed or anything other than like, forget it, you know, but.
Yeah.
I think, right, yeah, so, I don't know.
The one that, like, that. Is, and we will get there in our episode, but the one that really gets me is Madison, because Madison died again at the end of season 3 because she was killed by the zombie boy, Zach or Trent or whatever his name was, Jackson, I don't remember, Zoe's like weird zombie. Kyle, I think it was Kyle.
God, right.
Yeah.
He killed her, and then Zoe and Kyle had to, like, go on the lam because they had killed Madison. And then it's like, not clear. Only, like, one person knew that. I think it was Myrtle. And Myrtle was like, you know what? How about you guys just leave? How about everything is going to shit right now? How about you guys just leave? And then later in this episode, Madison will be like, did you guys even know I was dead? And then Zoe will be like, yeah, we knew. And I'm like, I don't know if Cordelia does know, because I feel like Cordelia wouldn't have been like cool with that your weird zombie boyfriend killed Madison. Like, that's, you know, that doesn't seem like a thing you get to get away with.
It's weird because, like, you know, this show, when they did the thing about the Zodiac Killer in season 5, where it's like, you know, oh, the Zodiac Killer we don't know who that is, so their ghost would be wearing this weirdo outfit and a mask, and then they had to, like, kind of retcon this real-life Zodiac Killer to match that in season 7, but then here's this, like, giant, like, we don't need to be consistent with the entire ending of season 3 or anything thing going on. So I don't get it, but all right, I guess it's somewhat reassuring to know I didn't miss anything,
I guess.
Yeah, but it's just very weird. Because, like, it explains... Well, it doesn't explain. Let me be clear. It does not explain. But, like, when we first see the witches after everybody has their apple party or whatever... Cordelia, when, like, what's her name and Myrtle, when Zoe and Myrtle and Cordelia show up, they say something in passing when they're talking to the warlocks to the effect of, like, oh, basically TLDR, I was able to bring back everybody but Queenie and Misty Day. She doesn't mention Madison. She says Madison is missing. I think she just says Madison is missing when she's talking to the warlocks. So no, Zoe, Cordelia didn't know that Madison was dead. But yeah, it's like it's kind of weird that how they just like gloss over. They're like, yeah, don't worry about it. We brought the dead ones back. Because I feel like, okay, we are humoring the idea, or we are suspending disbelief to believe that basically, especially in season 3, death doesn't really matter. You can just bring people back. But there does have to be a point where if that's the case, if you've established a universe in which most of the cast can just resurrect anybody who dies, at what point do you stop doing that? At what point do you go, okay, this time we should let them stay dead?
Generally, if death, like, doesn't exist in a setting, it's, like, core to the entire setting. See, Elden Ring, for example. Right. It's, like, kind of the whole crux of the damn thing.
Yeah. They did not. They did. I don't think they really even considered it. Because, like, that's the thing is, like, okay, so you just kind of on a whim brought Myrtle back, evidently, even though she wanted to be killed the second time, like, on purpose. So you just disrespected her wishes. I guess she could have killed herself if she was really adamant about it. But who's to say you don't kill yourself and they just keep bringing you back? Like, where's the line? Where's the morality there?
Well, I think we even brought this up in season 3 because it messes up the stakes or even just erases them entirely when there's like no death. And the closest thing you have is Descensium, I guess, you know, where you're in hell and then you can't come back, or Papa Legba gets you. And then there's that part of it too. But then,
takes you to his weird little hell where he has special little guys and gals he hangs out with like a bunch of babies. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, but we'll find out about the Descensium part of it too. Because we have missed. Right. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No stakes. Except, yeah.
You can bring anyone back unless we say you can't. And then the reasoning will be insanely flimsy. Like, they're like, we couldn't bring Misty Day back. She got stuck in hell. And I was like, and everyone else wasn't? Like, they just, like, died and were, like, hanging out nearby in a park? Like, what the fuck do you mean?
Yeah, they don't even bother trying to explain it. Because literally, Michael Langdon just brought two people back from hell. Like, he just did it. So, like, I guess technically only one of them was, like, trapped in quote-unquote hell, and that was Queenie. Because the hotel is, like, the doorway to hell or whatever. But then, like, Madison was just, like, in hell because she was a shitty person, I guess. and died, like, regular style. She just went to, like, the regular biblical hell where you go if you're a bad person. And he didn't have any trouble bringing either of them back. So why is Descensum any different?
Were they, like, not able to bring back Madison because they couldn't find her fucking body? Is that what it is? Like, she just died somewhere so they couldn't breathe in her mouth or whatever?
Yeah, because that's the thing, though, right? Because, like, the thing is, Queenie did die. Queenie got, like, turbo-owned by a vampire. So she, like, did die. Gust. So she does not have a body that they could have revived. But she comes back just fine. Madison did have a physical body. It was killed. I think she had her neck snapped by Kyle.
I don't think you should let me get away with Will actually-ing you on that, by the way, because it was technically a ghost that killed Queenie and not a vampire.
You're right. But. I forgot that he did it. I thought it was the vampire.
It didn't matter at all, mind you. It was really kind of silly to even pointed it out, but
the vampire just got to do like a little like Fortnite dance on her body and drink her blood or whatever, but she didn't actually do the work. She just showed up and like boogied down and was like, time to chug.
I was gonna say,
getting them witch powers.
In my mind, I was like, damn, how did, like, there was a split second where I was like, damn, how did Queenie beef it to a vampire? She's like a super powerful witch. And then I remembered that she wasn't beefing it to a vampire, and then James March came in and was like, LMAO, your witch powers don't work on me. I'm a ghost. and then right. he killed her.
But how is
which
that
is like
up?
Crazy because the whole thing with the Axeman was he was like, I'm a ghost and I love you supreme, but I know you could easily blow me up because I'm a ghost and we're susceptible to damage.
You can turbo explode me with your mind or whatever.
It'd be easy. You would just look at me bad and I'd be playing the big sax in the sky, but alas.
Bebop, bebop.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then he scats as he walks out the door.
The Axeman actually spent, like, most of the season, except for when he was banging the Supreme, just being afraid of the witches, because every interaction he had with the witches were them bullying the fuck out of him.
Also, Steve Bop, the Epstein files are fake. Bebop, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like the Axeman. That sounds that, extremely yeah. on brand for the Axeman.
Lest we forget the I loved you since you were 12, Fiona, thing, which is like,
yep.
God.
Thanks for reminding me in this season, like seven seasons later, about that terrible plot point. Yeah. I remember now. I remember how much I hated that, how much it fucking sucked. Yeah.
Yep.
Fucking over there, like, it's not pedophilia if they're 13. It's a different thing. Skip it, bop. Get out of here, dude.
That's so cool. And that's, you know what's crazy? That's like the worst part of his character. And that guy's a serial killer. That was another serial killer ghost. And somehow that wasn't the worst part of his character. Oh my god. I guess we should get into the actual episode, I guess.
Yeah.
So the last episode ended with Cordelia fainting upon seeing Madison and Queenie returning from hell, which, like, yeah, reasonable. That's a thing to faint for sure.
Sure.
And it starts this episode with Cordelia waking up in the apocalypse, I guess, which so the problem here, right, is that they're trying to have her, like, do a prediction and have it be this, like, whoa, she foretold something. But the problem is it's something that the audience has already seen because they did this in a stupid fucking order. So it's like her having this, like, oh, there's going to be an apocalypse and the world is going to end and it's going to be so bad. It's going to be awful. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah, I know. I wish we were doing those episodes still.
Yeah, I also wish we were there. Isn't it so cool how it? I can't bring other specific like examples to mind, but when I say it, you'll be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, this show loves to put it's usually a flashback or a dream sequence. It's usually a scene that's not real. That's the important part, is it's a scene that's not real. That so it can't affect the plot in any meaningful way because it's not happening currently. That reminds you that you could be watching a better show. That the show could be better and more interesting, but they're just choosing to not do it. Like Pink Cupcakes, most of Pink Cupcakes, the episode Pink Cupcakes, is just that, of them being like, what if we were a good show that was good and had good scenes? And then at the end it was like, psych, you're stuck with this dog shit show, actually. Sorry. We just wanted to let you know we could be making a better show if we wanted to. We just don't want to.
We have the potential, but we choose to squander it, like, actively. Yeah.
We're letting you know that this is a choice. This whole thing is a choice. We're choosing to be bad on purpose.
We could do writing, but we'd rather put a hamster in the microwave if that's cool with everybody. I think that's just going to save us all some time.
Hey, that was a guinea pig. His name was Mr. Guinea. Right. I'll have you remember his name was Mr. Guinea.
Oh, God, it was, wasn't it? Jeez.
It was.
Yeah. That's fucked up, too, because guinea pigs have, like, twice as much mass as a hamster easily. So that microwave was a mess. You know what? That. So, Cordelia's realizing that she's having a premonition about the apocalypse or whatever. She looks over, and it's the witch school. Oh, no, and it's exploded. And nobody's there except zombies. Again, which, like, Cordelia's already dealt with zombies. That shouldn't really be that surprising to her. She'd be like, did voodoo did this?
Also, the world's over. It's the apocalypse. She goes, oh, no, my school. Like, fucking everything, lady. Like, is it really?
My cabbages. Yeah.
You have to be that selfish? Like,
oh, no,
oh my God. Not my thing.
This sucks. Yeah.
And then some zombies grab her and chow down, and then she sees a spooky guy with an evil demon face who looks over and goes, bleh. And then she wakes up.
No, he goes, he does
like, not even kidding.
He laughs. He
literally is just like, ooga booga.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah.
He laughs like the fucking clown from Sesame Street. He like, he goes like, and it's like, oh, okay. Is this scary? Is this good?
So, oh yeah, and also her magic doesn't work, which like, who cares? Whatever. So she wakes up. It was a dream. Regrettably, we are still in the flashback. That's right, motherfucker. It's episode 3 of Flashback.
Dream in a flashback.
Somehow.
My favorite genre, pre-apocalyptic fiction. The most interesting of time frame.
Pre-apocalyptic. No, I'm sorry. What would it be? Fictional pre-apocalyptic, because it's technically a dream. So a dream inside of a flashback prior to the apocalypse. Fiction's so cool. You can do so many cool and interesting things with it.
Or this.
Or this.
So, yeah, that's the beauty of choice, is you can choose wrong. She wakes up. She's still at the boys' school. Myrtle and Zoe are basically like, yeah, you passed out when they walked in here, but then you've been like hooting and hollering while you're passed out at that, like a bunch of bad stuff was happening. And then, yeah, Madison and Queenie are like, yeah, you were hooting and hollering about the end of the world, but you didn't mention us one time. So you were kind of a bitch. Which is like,
honestly, same.
Yeah, that's like crazy levels of like waking up and like your girlfriend just turning you into being like, you said someone else's name and you were like, I was asleep, what do you mean? Like, it's like that kind of behavior, but like, oh, I can't believe you weren't sad about us in your weird apocalypse dream. Like, what are you talking about?
Same. Me too. I get it.
You did something shitty to me in a dream. Make up for it. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my god. Ew, it was a dream. The whole thing. You know what else is fucked up? Like, I had the thought when this scene first started playing, it is set in a different aspect ratio. It's clearly shot on like a different set of cameras. Like, there's some cinematic elements to it. It looks like a movie versus a TV show, if that makes any sense. Just for like that sequence, and that made me mad that it was a dream, because like, I feel like that's the opposite kind of editing that you would normally do to indicate that something is a dream. It more so seems like a cool kick-ass flashback to a cooler like season where we're actually doing the apocalypse. Not this. Not you're having a dream in the flashback. Like, just bizarre. Again, they're just showing us they could be making a better TV show, and then they don't make a good TV show. It's a lot. This is when Madison is like, did you know I was dead? And Zoe like pipes up immediately, like we knew, which like Cordelia didn't, clearly, because last episode she said she couldn't find Madison, but she feels like something bad happened. They really just gloss over this. I'm like, I know that you don't want us asking questions, because then it's like, okay, so does Zoe die? Do we kill Zoe since she, you know, is the reason that Madison died?
Well,
or do we just need her at this point?
We're also kind of like, they're also kind of, I can't think of the term, I want to say retconning, but like, they're writing Madison better. Like, she was kind of the villain toward the end in a way, or a villain. Like, remember when Zoe died from like telefragging herself in the gate, and Madison's just like, well, I could bring her back, but I'd rather you just make me the Supreme and we'll skip a step. Like, I could give a shit about her. Like, I'm, you know, I want to be the Supreme, you know, like, Zoe doesn't even matter to me, that kind of thing. So it's like, she's, you know, it's a little weird because now they're just like, thank goodness Madison's back. And it's like, I don't know, she wasn't that great. But, you know, whatever, I guess.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that they have decided to just not address that Zoe is directly responsible for Madison's death.
Right.
Not even in like an accidental way. Like, she is the reason Kyle exists and therefore is the reason that Kyle killed Madison.
Yeah. They have like a lot of little funny like, oh, I didn't actually like you that much moments, but like, no, like they like hated each other like quite a bit by the end. It wasn't like they were like, oh, you know, we fought, but it's okay. We made up. It's like, no, you killed each other actively and like tried the plot to get each other killed like pretty regular. Like Queenie just straight up at one point was like, you're all racist. I'm out. And then just like, I guess is just fine with it now. Which later in this episode, there will literally be a moment of Cordelia being like, oh, I barely met you and I feel like I didn't really know you till like Misty Day. And I'm like, what about the rest of these women? It's like, save your boat. Like you were sitting in the back playing with your garden or whatever. And then just one day you're like, I guess I'm the supreme now. And like, now you give a shit? Grow up. Come on.
Thanks a lot, Cordelia. Yeah, it's very interesting. And like this next scene even, because Cordelia like immediately jumps out of the chair and like runs and hugs Madison and Queenie, which is like fair, especially because like Slow Beef just said, they are kind of writing these characters to be a bit like a little bit different than they were in season three. I don't know if we're supposed to be like, oh, well, they've had time to like not grow as people or whatever.
Grow
so
as
they're,
in hell.
They're better. Yeah. I guess being in hell probably makes you a better person, question mark? I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to imply here. But, like, even the dialogue, because then they have Madison be like, I think you forgot I'm not much of a hugger. And I'm like, in the last episode when Queenie and Michael came to get you from hell, you like ran up and hugged Queenie and she had to push you off of her. So is this a lie or have they already forgotten what they are writing this character to be like in season
that
eight?
One.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Incredible. Cordelia is then like, I want to see the boy. And I'm like, fascinating way to word that. Very funny way to word it also. But they go meet up. I guess they're still at the boys' school, IRL. And they go to meet up with the Warlocks and Michael. And she thanks Michael for saving the girls. And he's like, whatever, I just wanted to get your attention. And Cordelia's like, okay, cool, cool, cool. I don't actually give a fuck about your weird alpha thing right now. I think I saw the future, question mark. And just completely shuts down all the shit the Warlocks have been trying to do up until now. She's like, fuck y'all's shit. I saw the future, I think. I'm not sure. And she's like, I saw a fucked up guy. There was an apocalypse and I saw a fucked up guy and he had a white face and he was laughing and it sucked. And John Henry or whatever his name is like, was it like a warning? Like, did you get like a message? And she's like, I don't know. But I think that whatever I do controls whether or not the apocalypse happens. I'm like, damn, you've never had a dream before? That's crazy.
If I was a Warlock, I'd be calling bullshit on this, right? Because it's like, hey, can you give a test to this person who saved your riches? Sure, but first, I just want to mention another possible delay. I think it's the end of the world and only I could stop it. And it's just like, oh, come on. Like, you're just coming up with shit now, you know?
Especially since, like, three times coming up in this episode, one of the Warlocks will respond to someone saying something completely rational by being like, fuck you. You just don't want Michael to be the supreme. Like, literally,
right? Yeah.
That happens, like, three times this episode where someone's like, yeah, hey, here's a rational concern I have. And they're like, fuck you, hater. Hater shit. Like, weak, weak, hater shit. And it's like, well,
you're
no.
You're just being misandrist.
Yeah.
You just hate men.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, you just all hate men. And, like, the fucked up thing is there's, like, a solid two people in the room where they could say that and it would be absurdly correct, but like just not regarding Michael Langdon.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really hates Michael Langdon besides John, which is funny and good and cool.
So I said this, like, we keep being told like how horrible he is. He's like the spawn of Satan and who the hell knows, but like the world's already over, so I don't even know like what this threat is exactly, like, it's supposed to be, you know, like what if the devil gets the last like 5% of humanity, and it's like, well, I mean, he kind of sucks because he missed out on like the others, but all right, whatever, I suppose.
Like, this is definitely a problem that this episode will like continue to have, is there is so much opportunity and so much time, and perhaps even three full episodes we could have leveraged of time to show Michael Langdon doing anything bad, right?
Right.
Like, it would be so easy to just have someone like walk up when, I don't know, for example, he's like rolling around on the ground covered in blood and magic snakes and being like, "Daddy, daddy, please." Like, that would be a great time to have someone walk in and be like, "That boy ain't right. There's something going on with this fella, I think." Like, they just don't do that. So it ends up being just 30 different people all being like, "I hate his fucking vibes."
Yeah.
That's like not a good enough reason to like disqualify everyone. Like, "I don't know. I think he's nasty. I think he stinks." To the point that like later on, Cordelia will just straight up be like, "Oh, actually, I was letting him get away with stuff so I could own him later because I always knew." And it's like, fuck off, man. Like, everyone can't just know. Like, it's so lame. Come on.
Especially because like at that point, he's still like a 17-year-old. So like, the worst part about Michael Langdon at that part that anybody knows of, because he hasn't made it like obvious to anybody that he's like going to be nasty, is that he looks like that one meme where it's like, please get them brown contacts, I'm begging you, because he has like almost White Walker-ass blue eyes in every scene, and it's extremely off-putting. But like, other than that, he hasn't really done anything at the point that everybody's like, this guy's vibes are fucking atrocious. It's, like, I guess he accidentally killed that one guy.
Well, it's also like, I don't know who it's for, because it's like this, the whole show, right? They play really fast and loose. So if he is like an antichrist or spawn of Satan or something, like, we're in a world where like you can kind of just leave hell, and maybe it's kind of ironic. You know, I don't really get what they're going for outside of like, he's like evil for the sake of it, just because we told you he was. And that seems to be it, right? Because
he
again,
likes
by
doing
the time
it.
You get,
that seems yeah, like to be somehow, like most of it.
Right, like somehow his like character arc is going to be, he probably becomes the Supreme. I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying like what his plan seems to be, right? Is I become the head of the warlocks and the witches, and then a nuclear apocalypse happens, and then I'm in the cooperative or whatever it is, and I'm judging who the final survivors are. And it's like, why are you doing any of the parts before the cooperative thing? Like, what does this do? Or, and there's just never an answer. But
makes you mad. Makes you mad when
it's
we
just like,
erase
and like,
it.
Yeah.
He hates the warlocks and witches like a lot, and this kind of just comes out of nowhere to some extent. Like, him and his mom both like hate spellcasters, I guess, which is
new guy distraught.
Strange
new genre yeah. guy distraught. Like,
there's literally going to be a part where Kathy Bates just appears out of nowhere, kills somebody, and goes, "No more spells." And I'm like, "What is this? Who are you?"
I joined the Mossad specifically to get rid of wizards, and because I misunderstood what the Mossad was or did. I thought I was joining a government called Israel. You know, but it turned out
like Satan
like
is
not,
real. Let's
right, like
on.
Not, yeah. Not magic, real shit. And I fucked up bad, but you know, I killed a guy at least. So
look, I'm a witch hunter for Satan, and it's like, wait, but doesn't Satan like the witches? No,
he might, but I don't.
Are you sure?
No, I know he hates
we're
magic.
We're fighting.
He hates heavy metal. Okay, he loves Jesus. You know, he goes to church on Sundays. I know about
that. Definitely wasn't holding the book upside down. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Yeah.
So anyway, Cordelia's like, "Okay, I think I'm probably gonna be the one who does the apocalypse. That sucks. We got to figure that out. So 2 weeks from now, we're gonna give Michael the seven wonders test." I'm like, 2 weeks for what?
Why are you wasting like, your time? I thought the world's ending.
Yeah,
sorry,
the apocalypse is coming. According to you, what the fuck do you need 2 weeks for? And like, in case you're wondering if it's part of like
brunch.
In case you're wondering, is that like part of her plan? Because it is a plan. No, that 2 weeks just isn't anything for anybody. So like, I don't know.
I'm booked
like,
solid.
Yeah. Yeah, she booked an Airbnb and couldn't get a refund. It was too close to the date. And then he's like, "Yeah, sure, I'll do the Seven Wonders test." And Cordelia's like, "Cool, cool, 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 cool. Hope you're ready to be the first boy supreme. Bye." And then they leave. And all of that, dear listener, was just the opening sequence. Now it's time for the real show? Question mark. This was a short episode, kind of, in content. like perspective of content and things that happen. We go to the, we're back at the house. We're back at the witch house. And Myrtle is absolutely on one. This is a very specific nitpick. I'm sorry. This is a very specific nitpick that I don't like. So the implication is they just landed and they're home now, which means these people have been probably traveling together for the last at least 10 to 15 hours. And now Myrtle is like unloading and like going off about a very specific pressing issue. I'm like, so did you guys just not fucking talk about it on the plane or what? Like, you just didn't have any you just didn't talk to each other at all? Because this is like, the conversation they have is the, we just got in the car and are driving away from the boys' school conversation. Not a, I can sit on these feelings for 15 hours and not speak a single word about it until we get home, question mark. It's not right. I hate when shows do that. I know why they do, because like then they'd have to film them like on the plane, but like it doesn't make sense, like realistically. Like, people would have had that conversation during transit. They wouldn't wait until they get home to be like, now we have to have this very, very important conversation. Also,
It's not like they have a private jet set they can film in. It's not like there's precedent for earlier in this season where they film in a private plane. That'd be crazy.
It's not like they can literally teleport. Like, that's the thing that they show. Yeah. You know? Why do we need 2 weeks for anything? You could just go places. Like, what the fuck? Including hell.
Anyway.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, like, oh, well, I'm not watching along. Maybe they did teleport. Maybe you're just assuming. No, we see them, like, they're pulling luggage into the house. That's what the scene is. It's like Cordelia's, like, rolling a wheelie suitcase in. And I highly doubt they teleported with that shit, because you wouldn't pack a suitcase if you could just teleport. Because why the fuck would you? You can just teleport home and get clothes and then come back. Like...
And you might even say, like, well, what if they have to, like, make sure they don't teleport somewhere where they get telefragged or whatever? I don't know, man. Like, ask to look at somebody's Ring camera. Just, like, find a spot where there's nothing and, like, be there. It doesn't seem that hard.
There's solutions for this. Yeah, exactly. But, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. Also, we see them arrive in a car when they show up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely travel by rail and by air and by sea or whatever.
Yeah, so Myrtle is like having a whole fucking breakdown of just like, I can't believe it, you'd let them attempt the Seven Wonders, what the fuck? And it's like, okay, so like, if they do pass the Seven Wonders, then Myrtle's just wrong. And if they don't pass the Seven Wonders, Myrtle is just wrong. Like, this is... Cordelia's absolutely correct here in that, like, passing the Seven Wonders does nothing but give information, and failing the Seven Wonders also does nothing but gain information. Like, I can't believe I have to side with Cordelia here, but Myrtle needs to shut up. Like, she is so wrong. The reason they had her do this is because the writers thought they were, like, really on some clever shit where they're like... Men make terrible leaders. Did we learn nothing from Attila the Hun or Mark Zuckerberg? And it's like, okay, I guess. fine.
They were not. They didn't fuck with the Zuck. They did not fuck with the Zuck on American Horror Story.
I think it's also very funny. It's doing the thing of like a lot of shows do this, where it's like, in order to show someone's got good strategy, they come up with like a really obvious plan that somebody else doesn't, or something, or like. All the pieces were already there to begin with. It's like, but I can gain information from this. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's all just sort of set up that way for you. So you might
do you not
well,
have divination? Fair, that's my thing, is like, you had to do the Seven Wonders test, and divination is one of them. So like, you can't do that to get info. Why do we need to get info from anybody ever when we have the Supreme TM?
Divination is when you reach into a mirror and get a book, right?
Yeah.
That's what that is? Yeah. Okay, like, cool. I don't see how that would help here.
Or something. I don't know.
True. You got me there. Actually, later...
I don't see what this has to do with getting a book.
Later, they'll do divination again. So it could either be getting a book out of a mirror, or it could be looking at some rocks and being like, tee-hee-hee, and then skipping over to the corner like a little lad and pulling an apple out of a hay bale. That can also be divination.
God,
So after this, Cordelia just straight up says, like, I'm worried that me being a misandrist is what causes the apocalypse. If I don't let this boy have the test, the world will end, which, like, that's a hellaciously big logical leap and also wildly incorrect, which for someone with the divination is like, damn, your divination's ass. Really bad foresight. Holy shit. Hey,
I just had a thought. Do either of you remember that, like, Cordelia's whole thing in season 3 before she became the Supreme was like her literal only power was like the sight TM, where she could like divinate pretty much anything ever, with literally like she could see into people's memories and shit. Yeah, I just checking if anyone else remembered how that was literally one of her powers.
I remember it because they made a whole big thing about getting her new eyes that she cut out anyway, and then she was just so she could have it again, and then she's just like, I got it now, it's fine, don't even worry about it. So yeah, what the fuck, why did we do any of this? But yeah, I remember it very distinctly. God, I hate this show.
Crazy that she doesn't just use that. That feels like the answer to this problem, just like her, like, maybe, I don't know, patting Michael on the shoulder and being like, good job, sport, you're really good at magic, and when she touches him, maybe just like do the mind palace thing that she can do.
How bad are any magic people though? This guy is like this horrible demon, and nobody knows of the witches or the warlocks. But whatever.
John Henry knows. His hater meter was going off immediately, but everyone thinks he's a bitch. So unfortunately,
right.
Unfortunately.
So Myrtle says another stupid thing, where she's like, well, your mom was a great example that being the Supreme doesn't mean they should lead the coven. And it's like, well, then you shouldn't have a full series of systems in place that serves only to do that.
Right?
Like, that's the literal structure of your entire system is built around it. Like, you're right. That's why democracy kicks ass, is because you don't just like put some random chuckle fuck into him because he happens to be the son of a chuckle fuck you liked in the past. That's the whole point. And so it's like, it's not like I think Fiona explicitly was like, yeah, I don't want to be the Supreme, and they're like, tough nuts, you gotta
sorry, you went to hell at our behest, you know, so that means you have to lead us. That's the rule.
You owe us. That's right.
Yeah, but the good news is we have good witches that would make a good Supreme, even though it's not optional who's the Supreme. That's like the whole crux of it, is there's only one, and like you don't get to pick who it is. And Myrtle's like, we have Mallory. Mallory's pretty cool. And then we see a flashback so that we, the audience, know that Mallory's really cool. And they show Mallory not just reviving a CGI dead deer, but reverting it to an alive baby CGI deer, which is like time reversal, which I don't know where that ranks. I think better than necromancy, probably, because like, it's necromancy plus, because you can also like undo stuff that isn't just dying. But I don't think if I die,
turn your enemies into babies.
Yeah, I don't want to be turned into a baby. That would suck real bad. Because then you could just like, there's a whole thing of, oh, well, you can bring a shitty person back and then make them into a baby, and then they can be alive again, but not shitty.
It's an entire Mortal Kombat category of fight ending things, actually.
Yeah, true.
It's rough. It's rough.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, because babies are, like, really easy to beat up.
Yeah.
Some of them.
No defenses. Yeah. And I just want to step in here real quick to say, this might be the worst CG I've seen on television in the last 20 years of my life. It's crazy how bad this deer looks.
Yeah.
It's, like, legitimately insane. I didn't even parse that it was supposed to be switching into a baby deer. It just looked like two different really awful CG deer.
Yeah, I had the same thing where I was like, did they just fuck up? Before, like, she spoke and said what had happened, I'm like, did they just fuck up and, like, not have an alive adult deer CGI model? They only had, like, the dead one, but they did have an alive baby one, so they were just like, hope nobody notices.
Look, I got rid of it T-posing. That's the best I could do.
Yeah, I'm like, did they buy, like, the wrong asset pack? And they're like, well, fuck, that we can't buy another one. That one, that would be too expensive. So they just tried to make it work. But they're like, no, Mallory can reverse time. Like, they have Myrtle say that. I'm like, okay, well, I guess. I was sure.
Which, I will say too, having someone demonstrate time reversal powers by doing necromancy is crazy. That's a crazy thing. In a show where like the ability to revive people is like a known quantity and something that witches can do by just breathing into your mouth, having another one like revive something from the dead and being like, that was different. It's like so fucking wild to me.
That one was cooler. I thought it kicked ass. The regular necromancy is boring. Who gives a shit? Can you make me into a baby? Oh my god. You know what I'm just realizing? Brain blast moment. The reason why they're doing this is because if they had the Reverso time spell in season 3, Fiona would have stopped at literally nothing to kill Mallory and steal her powers. Literally nothing. Because that is exactly what would have solved Fiona's problem of like grappling with her mortality and getting older and like dying to cancer. Like Reverso time spell is like GG. It's exactly what she would have wanted, so they couldn't introduce it into that season.
Also because it's an even worse plot device than just bring anyone back from the dead anytime you wanted. Like, you want no stakes? How about an undo function? How about reload
save
your actual narrative? But it's here now, so you know, whatever.
I wonder if that will be relevant later. That's crazy.
No,
but Cordelia's like, no, remember? Michael brought Queenie back, and that's, I guess, the coolest thing a person can do. And I'm like, cooler than reversing time? Bringing someone out of a hotel is cool just because you couldn't do it is better than reversing time?
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely what it is. It's because she couldn't do it, which, like, that would make sense for Fiona's characterization. I don't think it makes sense for Cordelia's characterization.
Nah, yeah.
Like, if Fiona had this whole, like, oh, shit, she can do something, or, you know, they can do something I can't, I gotta figure that out. That was Fiona core as fuck. That was, like, what Fiona was doing the entire season.
Right.
Whereas, like, yeah, Cordelia was just, like, hanging out, touching plants, seeing stuff. Not really, like... The whole thing was that she didn't have that drive like her mother. So, like, having her do that is very bizarre. Very bizarre.
Yeah, and it's weird to put so much, I don't know, so much emphasis on, like, bringing someone back from hell in general. Because that's what ends up happening, is that gets spotlighted. Is like, well, he did bring Queenie back from the Hotel Cortez. And I'm like, you guys weren't even sure why she couldn't leave. You just thought it was a really fucked up hotel. So I don't know why that ranks anywhere even close to, yeah, Mallory can turn back time for any living creature. But then Cordelia's like, well, I know he's going to be the Supreme because I've been losing my powers. And then it gets a flashback of her looking in the mirror and she has like this fucked up weird alien rash on her stomach.
It's like a flesh eating virus.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think that's what happens when you get a new Supreme. that's maybe a you problem. That's really weird, Cordelia. No other Supremes have had this. Anyway, Myrtle is like weeping because she, I guess, believes that Cordelia is dying. Mallory just fucking lets herself into Cordelia's bedroom casually while these two are having a conversation, and they act like it's normal and not weird. And she's like, Miss Cordelia, your 2 p.m. is here. And guess who the 2 p.m. is? Yippee! It's Coco! Yay! We finally accounted for everybody, kind of.
Okay, remember how it was like a big thing that Coco got like a mind spell put on her that kept her from being the same person, and that's why she was like kind of annoying when we met her, but she wasn't actually in the past. She was actually quite a different character in like a different way. Just kidding. She was the same fucking character. She was
right?
Exactly
like,
the same
fucking character.
Why did we do character.
This?
They completely undid that part where they're just like, yeah, we realized that nobody liked Coco, so just forget that Coco existed. And then we cut back to a flashback and like, no, she's still that person. She's always been that. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I think they toned her down a bit. She is still like the vapid, like, daughter of a billionaire or whatever. But, like, she actually, like, is kind of self-deprecating in this scene and like again like
yeah.
seems
yeah.
kind of excited when she finally meets Mallory. She is more of a, this is a very specific pull, but she kind of has like the vibe of the evil stepsister from Cinderella that ended up getting her own movie, and she's like still not super likable, but like you do realize she's not like a total shithead. She very much so has that vibe where you're like, okay, well, she's not like an awful person, but she's definitely not super likable still.
She's not evil. She sucks, but not like my assistant's gonna wipe my ass for me. Sucks. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. The Cordelia cast a spell of lead into blood, I think is what happened. Just made her a little more aggressive, a little more violent, a little bit stupider. Not like a big change, but just like a little bit worse. Like she's been huffing that leaded. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it was enough to make her forget that who she was. Because the thing is, like, I think they forgot that, like, they don't have to go by, like, things that already exist. With fiction, you can come up with new ideas, actually. You don't have to, like, pull from pre-existing fictional rules.
I would never encourage them after I saw what they do to vampires last season.
Yeah, but you know what? Actually, right. That's true. But, like, because that's the thing is, like, they were like, oh, well, we had to put these witches under, like, a memory loss spell so they'd have amnesia and they wouldn't remember who they were. And I'm like, you could just make up a new magic that, like, I don't know, make somebody like, I can't, like literally you could make them think anything. Like it doesn't have to be like a mind wipe spell. It could just be like a temporary, like it could be like the Sharingan. Like they could think they're in another reality or something. Like you can explain how those witches, you know what? Why did we even have to wipe their minds? Why didn't we just tell them, hey, don't fuck this up. Like, why did we have to wipe their brains like they're robots or like we're in Men in Black? Why could we not have just been like, hey, be cool about this?
I feel like they had to find some way of having Mallory be able to turn back time, but also like not do that to undo the apocalypse like thing that they set up because that would kind of fuck.
That is probably it. I don't actually remember if they address it later, but I think that might actually be it because they were like, oh, well, Mallory, like, well, in my mind, this would be the, yeah. I don't know if this was their reasoning, but like in my mind, Mallory would simply not be able to let the bombs go off. She would probably try to stop it some other way or reverse time or something.
I think like even they recognize like you could probably write around this where it's like you can like I can reverse time for one person, not like make the whole world go back to something, right? But like it does introduce a huge problem of like, okay, wait, why can't I make it so there's less traffic so Kogo's boyfriend can get there, or why can't I just try again until that kind of thing will fuck everything up?
Or even like a baby Hitler situation of like, why can't I just turn Michael Langdon into a baby and punt him off of a rooftop? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of plot holes that open up that like, I guess that would be hard to write around, I suppose.
The parts of stew we didn't eat, I can fix him, you know, like that kind of thing. But, you know, right. So anyway.
That thus is also the power or the problem of having a character that just has like a actually that didn't happen button, because you run into like what happened with Avengers Endgame of why didn't Captain Marvel just fly the gauntlet into space where Thanos couldn't get it when she had it in her hands. You run into that kind of situation because it's like, well, why didn't Mallory just baby Hitler whoever it is that started the apocalypse, because clearly we're going to lead up to that point because we keep having flashbacks. Why didn't Mallory just undo it?
It's crazy to think that Oprah's in this show. There's Oprah and she's a witch and we haven't seen her in like three goddamn episodes. That's so crazy to me. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
We just like got rid of this one character. Like we're like, okay, we're bringing you back from the dead. We are going to go to a flashback where you aren't though. We're going to go deal with that for a bit.
Yeah. Do you mind hanging out here while we have like three episodes of flashback? We'll get back to you. Just stay standing where you're standing. It's fine.
Classic witch stuff.
Yeah. But now it's time to actually meet Coco, like parentheses real, and her like rich dad is trying to, it's really strange. Her rich dad is enrolling her in witch school and she doesn't seem to like want to go to witch school. And I'm like, Coco's like 30. Like, why can't she just be like, no, I'm not going to witch school. Like, I don't think it's like prison. It's not like juvie. She didn't break the law. They can't keep her there. Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Well,
they're like trying to do a billionaire dependence thing, I think. But yeah, it doesn't really make sense when Coco's like an adult,
right?
Yeah.
And he's not like they're framing it like a father like checking their daughter into rehab for like a drug addiction, but like positive. He's like, no, she has to go here because she has such cool magic. Coco, tell them about your cool magic. So it's like weird that he's doing. It's like sending your kid off to military school, but it's because you think they're like really good at sports and like they'd be really really good in the military and you're very like, supportive.
Like our family for generations went to which school, you know, and you have to go too, but you know, but it's not that because he like had to donate a ton of money too, they mentioned, which I can't believe like is a thing in which school, you know. They're like, okay, well, I donated like your big magic wing over here, so now my daughter gets to go to witch school, like, right?
Yeah.
Especially because there was so much emphasis of, like, the witches are dangerous because they can just fuck the economy at any point. Like, they just have access to unlimited of what? Anything, functionally. They have magic. Yeah. So, like, money is not a concern for them. But apparently, Cordelia was like, you're giving us how many millions of dollars? Oh, brother. Yeah, get in here. Get in here, Gluten Witch. Which, speaking of which, that is her special ability. After her dad gives her the whole, like, hey, come on, tell her what your magic is. She's like, okay. The only magic I have is one of my friends was about to eat a biscotti and I slapped it out of their hand and then it turns out they have a gluten allergy and they were about to eat some gluten. I have the witch ability to detect gluten. And they have this be like a big like, oh, isn't this funny thing? Because all the other rich ladies around wanted her to check if everything had gluten because they're lying about what has gluten. And it's like, I get it. They were doing the whole like gluten-free was a craze for a while and not like being treated like a serious disease or condition. But also it's just like stupid because like if someone has like a serious gluten intolerance, they know what gluten is in.
Yeah.
they're aware.
That was my thing. They know. Like literally, like she's like, oh, and he ended up having celiac disease, so I basically saved his life. And I'm like, people with celiac disease know they can't eat a biscotti.
Yes.
I can say that with complete confidence. People that know they have celiac disease know that they can't eat a biscotti, and they would not be trying to eat a biscotti unless they just didn't care about being miserable for the next couple of days.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
I just went on a date recently, and there was like a place that was selling really nice, big, fluffy pretzels, and I'm like, I'm going to get a pretzel. Do you want me to get you one? And she said, no, I have a gluten intolerance, and those have gluten. And I went, right, let me get you something else. Like, they know, you know? Like, they're aware.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, if I eat this, it makes me want to throw up and die for a week, so like I'm not gonna take that.
Yeah. And like I think at this point it has to be like there's the dunking on it thing, because like then she's like, yeah, and all these, and to be clear and fair, I guess, to Coco's character here, in case you're wondering if like we're kind of like hamming it up about how like she was just like, my power is gluten, whatever, no, like she very clearly is aware how dog shit her power is, and like she even is like, that's why I shouldn't be here. I have a really, really dog shit power. Like, I'm not a cool witch. I shouldn't be here. So, like, it's not like Coco is like, yeah, I'm so cool. I can tell when there's gluten and stuff. Like, she knows it's dog shit. And she's embarrassed about it.
And you know what the thing is? Like Cordelia kind of goes with, like, well, look, you can detect danger, and that's not a bad place to start from, which would come across more sincere if not for the, oh, so your father gave us millions of dollars thing, because then that just sounds like it could also be like, yeah, no, that's a power. That's totally good. Like, also, we'll work with
also
that.
Like, Cordelia has a really good answer here of just, like, yeah, you might develop more powers while you're here. That's pretty common. That girl over there, all she could do was if she slept with somebody, her pussy killed him. That was it. That was her ability. Now she could do, like, other stuff, too. So, like, hey, honestly, detecting gluten as opposed to accidentally killing your first lover, it's not bad.
Could be worse.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good hit rate. And like Cordelia like says it like kind of she tries to be sincere, but then Coco fires back, like, you're just sucking up to my dad.
Right. Which is true. She could also go with, and one of our girls here fucked a Minotaur, if you're into that, by the way.
Anyway. She didn't have to. Just so we're clear, you don't have to do that at this school. That's not like we don't require you to do it. She just wanted to. She did die.
I never want to be clear.
You never know what could happen.
Monster fuckers welcome.
Yeah. And I do want to emphasize, she did die, or almost die, for doing it. But, like, you know, we like to encourage our students to take risks here. You miss 100% of the shot that you don't take. Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln or something. if you want to fuck a Minotaur, I think you should give it death. Hey, listen, Coco, listen. Death's not real. We figured out how to undo it. So if you want to try and fuck the Minotaur and you end up dying, doesn't matter. We can bring you back, and we'll know to scratch Minotaur off the list, and then you can move on to the next one. It's just fully optional at this point. I guess it she didn't require any of that. To agree, to like stop arguing, because she's like, Mallory, Cordelia is like, Mallory, who is, I guess, my assistant also, for some reason, why don't you take Coco and like show her to her room? And then like, I guess Coco's like, well, that was enough convincing. You telling me I could be cool one day was all it took. I'm okay with doing this now. And she seems to, like, when she goes over to Mallory, they, like, smile at each other, and I think the implication is that, like, they hit it off, like, immediately. Or, like, Coco was, like, excited to have a friend. Because, the implication in her flashback, because all these rich ladies used to come to her house to have her check for gluten, and this one lady, like, this one waspy lady is like, here's a whole cake that it says it's gluten-free on it, but when I ate it a week ago, I had, like, the worst farts ever. And I'm like, well, it sounds like you got your answer.
Right? Yeah.
Why do you need her to tell you whether or not there's gluten in it? Are you going to sue the company? Like, what's the point here? I guess they said it's because the ladies wanted to lose weight. And I'm like, what does that mean? Gluten doesn't have anything to do with weight loss at all.
They meant carbs, and they fucked up because...
Oh, probably.
I mean, I feel like the show like should have gotten that right. Like, that seems real easy, but who the fuck knows, honestly.
And that conflation was really, really prevalent for a while.
Sure.
Like, I got really into like keto dieting when I like first got out of college. And the number of times people would conflate low carb with no gluten was like more than there are stars in the sky. And I had to be like, no, 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 it's okay. When I make fake bread, I like implicitly put extra gluten in it. If anything, I have anti-celiac. I actually like the gluten. It makes me stronger.
Oh, so true. Me too. But yeah, like, that's supposed to be that's it. Like, that's our introduction to Coco and Mallory. So Coco was not there when they first met Michael. I don't know if that's ever going to be relevant. I just wanted to say it so it's on record. So when it does inevitably become a problem, they'll know. Because I don't think they would, like, day one be like, hey, new girl who just joined this school who's also 30 years old. Quick update. We did just go meet up with the boy witches. That doesn't sound like that big of a deal. It is for some reason. We've been in like an eternal beef with them or something. And now they have a boy supreme that's called the Alpha. This is all stuff that we've never had to deal with before. Also, we're pretty sure that Cordelia is going to cause the apocalypse because of the boy Alpha. It's a whole thing. So go ahead and get your suitcase unpacked. And then
and orientation's Thursday.
Yeah. And then we have to go to hell.
Orientation's in 4 weeks, actually. So
yeah,
we're real busy.
Old Cordelia booking too far out.
Her mom was much better at this by simply not being at the coven.
Another day planner for Christmas. What's going on here, girls? Anyway.
Oh my lord. There is still, I regret to inform, so much episode left, and unfortunately the important parts of the episode are still left. People will die. Main characters will die.
Air quotes.
It's also not the part the thing you're thinking is going to take a bunch of time doesn't. I'll just tell you right now, like, when they get to the Seven Wonders, you might be like, oh, so we have to take all this time to go through the Seven Wonders again? Nah. After they've made such a big deal of the Seven Wonders over the last like three episodes over how it's such a big deal and like, oh, I can't possibly do the Seven Wonders again. Yeah, they just burn through it in like 30 seconds.
Honestly, the Warlock's like four items or whatever you call them. The four things take a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can you make this room cold? Oh, fuck. That was like...
too cold.
You've passed the three and change, et cetera. Good job. You worked that
out. So, yeah, next time we're going to get to see the Seven Wonders very quickly. We're going to see something that made me insanely annoyed and go, but why are you here?
Yeah.
And then the fucking writers have two other people show up from off camera and go, hey, we're why she's here. And I'm like, that's not better.
Yippee.
I was also here waiting off camera to let you know that I told your mom.
Show.
Oh, God. Well, till next time. Also, hey, I hope you were really enjoying John Henry's suspicion arc because it's about to pay off.
Good for him. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell
for
yeah.
For sure. Till next time, everybody, for Boy Wonder Part 2. Have a great night.
Bye.